Okay, we're back. I need something to hold on to, though. You know, when I was your age, I'd have done a cartwheel up those stairs. And the competition continues. Go Blue Family. I wanted Jeff to join me this morning because we've got some pretty exciting news for you, and we want you to be ready for this. And the only way you're going to be ready for this is if you start praying right now about what God can do in your life and what you're really willing to let Him do. John Mueller once said, "I wonder what would happen if a man totally gave himself to the leading of Jesus Christ." We now have girls and boys clubs all over the world, thanks to some of his work. I'm wondering what God could do if every one of us in this room just simply let God have us 100%. What could He do? So, gear up, pray about now, not only what's going to happen as a church, but what's going to happen in your life in September. We're calling September Next Step September. We want you to be thinking about and praying about what is the next step God's leading you to. Maybe for you that next step is baptism. Maybe for you that next step is, you know, placing membership or getting into a small group or starting Sunday school. Maybe that next step is joining the choir. Maybe that next step is helping with the nursery or the junior church. Maybe the next step is to preach. But whatever that next step is, are you ready to say, "Lord, here I am. Help me take that next step"? So you be praying about that. But one of the events coming up, of course, September the 10th is our big church picnic. Have a car show. It's always a great, great day. And that morning, you all recognize we've had a few babies lately. And I told Jenna this morning, hurry up. Because she did. Her water broke? Oh. That's too much information, okay? Jenna, if you can hear me, don't come back in. But September the 10th, that morning in our worship service, we're going to have our baby recognition and parent dedication day. So if you've been one of those families that have had a baby here in 2017, we want you to be sure to be here, be prepared, as we want to set you apart as Christian parents with these new babies to raise them in the admonition of the Lord. And dads, for some of you, maybe your next step is to step up and be a better leader in your family as a Christian man. But you be thinking about next step September and what your next step is going to be as God leads you. Okay?
And pay attention to the website and our Facebook for more information.
More information coming. We've got 2 or 3 weeks coming up yet before that. I'm going to get you geared up. But boy, just anticipate that. Well, welcome back, Jenna. All right. Thank you, brother.
Good luck.
I also want to thank Pastor Jeff. We just had what I think is my opinion. You can ask others, but my opinion is that was the best overnight weekend of camp we have ever had. The kids were excited. They participated. They were well behaved. We had one or two, you know, preacher kids, but other than that, it was really a great bunch. They listened. They kept to the schedule. But I think most all of that was due to the fact that Pastor Jeff set out a tremendous schedule for us of activities and events and lessons and family time. And it was just an incredible week. So I'd like to thank him, but I'd also like to thank all of you adults who stepped up and pitched in to help us accomplish this weekend. We're the ones that are groaning when we get up and under 80. Okay? Because some others of you are going to be groaning getting up, but it's not because you went to children's camp. This just kind of highlighted my groaning getting up. I texted Barbie Friday night and said, "I'm homesick." She texted back and said, "Do you want me to come get you?" I said, "No, I'm going to try to make it." The next morning, I texted her and said, got up, took my pills, ate breakfast, walked 100 miles uphill to the activity center. And then that afternoon, I said, I'm going to need an Aleve tonight. And I'm glad I did, or I wouldn't be standing up here today. It really was a very fun and exciting weekend. So when that rolls around next year, please take the opportunity. Those kids were a ball, and they will remember you, and they will thank you in years to come. Number of things are coming up, having mentioned camp. Of course, Living Flags just around the corner, believe it or not, and our listening session is tonight, 4:30 in the garden room. Just come. We're going to give out the books and the CDs and information sheets and let you listen to the music for this year. And then our rehearsals start full force next Sunday at 4:30. Golf scrambles coming up the end of the month. And we've already got a bunch signed up, but we can... 44. We're looking for 72 golfers this year to fill the whole golf course. It's going to be a great, great outing. It's always a lot of fun. Now, there's no money prizes, no big trophies or anything. It's just fun and bragging rights. And you come take part in that with us. Jeff's got Mountain Dew night coming up. Yeah. That's the hangover from last year's Mountain Dew night. This is the 9th annual Mountain Dew night, and it's growing every year. That's for junior high, senior high. And then, of course, Next Step September. Really seriously be thinking about, gee, here's where I am. This is where God has brought me. What is He really saying to me? Okay, it's time to take that next step. And that next step for you is, and then commit yourself to do that. That in part is what I think is the leading of our message this morning about living letters. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Many, many years ago, Clay Chapman penned these words to a Christian song. Perhaps you remember them. Lord, I take my pen to write to you a letter, knowing even now you know what's on my mind. But I think perhaps it might make me feel better if I see myself here written in a line. As I close, I see a phrase I took for granted, and it leaps out as I see it written there. As the truth of it begins to become planted, these two words have now become my heartfelt prayer. Sincerely, yours. Lord, I sign myself to you, sincerely yours, with a strong and honest wish to be the best that I can be at what I am, without a thought for me. Lord, teach me how to be sincerely yours, without a proud or selfish line, sincerely yours. From now until there is no time, please make my life become a letter you can keep and never throw away. I'll write until the day that I become sincerely yours. Beautiful song. Now, our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul writes, are we beginning to commend ourselves again? He's just been talking about a lot of the things that he and others have done. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. In Paul's day, when people traveled from a new community or to a new community, they didn't have platinum credit cards that would show their credit rating. So they established their credibility by bringing letters of recommendation from influential people from other places. These letters were similar to the letters of recommendation we now write for someone to help them get hired for a job or even admitted to college. But in the ancient world, as in now, sometimes these letters didn't mean very much because people would exaggerate. I love the story of the fellow who's talked about one lazy employee he had. He was always changing jobs. He just happened to be the last job he was at. He was ready to leave again, so he asked this boss for a letter of recommendation. And wanting to get rid of the slacker, but not wanting to be dishonest by praising him falsely, here's what he wrote. To whom it may concern, if you can get Bob Johnson to work for you, you will be extremely lucky. You let that one sink in. Paul tells the Christians at Corinth, their lives are letters. Letters of recommendation. Living letters. Living proof. Christ was the writer. The world is the readers. The Spirit of the living God is the ink. Our hearts is the paper. Paul was the postman. As believers and Christ followers, our lives are living letters too. Letters of recommendation for Jesus. They're being read by everyone. I think Paul would join me in encouraging each of us to write our letters so as to sign them, sincerely yours. Have you seen those bumper stickers on company vehicles that read, "How's my driving? Call 1-800-whatever"? That is an invitation for you to observe me on the job and to call and tell others how I'm doing. Well, listen, when you become a Christian, you start wearing a bumper sticker that reads, "How's my living?" And it's an invitation for all those around you, all day, everywhere, to observe you on the job, living as a Christian, and to let you know how you're doing. Our world has observed the church. Our world has observed Christians, and somehow it has concluded we're not very relevant. Old-fashioned, behind the times. They reference us by calling slow drivers on the highway as what? Sunday drivers. They observe us and somehow find us to be hypocrites, more interested in their money than in their soul. That's not the letter of recommendation we want to give the world around us about Jesus, is it? That's not the letter of recommendation we want others to get from us when we live our life to show them what it means to follow Jesus. We have to change that perception of what it means to be a Christian. We have to show this world, let our lives be a living letter to every one of them. This is what it's like to follow Jesus. So how do we do that? How do we live a life that will write a letter of recommendation to the world worthy of the Christ we love and serve and live for, and one that we could sign, sincerely yours? Well, first of all, let me say, don't live a life to impress others. In the famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Now that's good, and we quote that a lot. But in the very next chapter, in chapter 6, he said, "Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven." So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. They're just simply trying to impress others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Now, do you see the difference? Do you get the point? Live your Christian life loud. Live your Christian life so that all of them can see you live and glorify our Father in heaven. But don't do it to impress others. Live your life in such a way as people will say, he's been with Jesus. Look at verse 4. Such confidence we have through Christ before God. Not that we're competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Not the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives lives. Listen, Christians should be humble and Christians should be confident. How do you reconcile those two virtues? Well, Christians are not to have an inflated view of importance, but neither are we to be insecure, plagued with constant feelings of self-doubt. We are to be confident without being cocky, self-assured without being arrogant. Confidence enhances the use of our spiritual gifts. Self-confidence is absolutely essential for the Christian. Paul told Timothy, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." If you lack confidence in what God can do through you, what God can do in your life, with your life, you're not going to be able to teach or to sing or to encourage or to use any of the gifts God has given you effectively. And it's not confidence in you. It's confidence in the God who has so gifted you. Let me say, too, that confidence also enhances our personal testimony. Can you imagine? Now, some of you may be too young to even know this, but if you're not, you'll totally understand this. Can you imagine when Lee Iacocca was chairman of the Chrysler Corporation, trying to bail the company out of all their money troubles, coming on television and timidly saying, "Well, I hope our cars are okay. I sure would like for you to try one." No. Lee Iacocca comes out with confidence and he says, "Look, if you can find a better car, buy it." Now what's that tell you? "I don't think you can find another one that's any better than this." And he becomes believable. And Chrysler became a hero. If your confidence is directly related to other people's opinions, if you live your life to impress others, you're going to be plagued with insecurities for three reasons. You ready? First of all, because people are fickle. They can approve of you one day and criticize you the next. One day the crowd said, "Hail King Jesus." And the next day they said, "Nail Jesus." If you don't understand people are fickle, and you put a lot of stock in their approval, you're going to be devastated. A second reason you shouldn't put too much stock in people's opinions is because people are often wrong. One newspaper editor ripped Abraham Lincoln for his Gettysburg Address. He said his remarks were inappropriate and not worth mentioning. Thomas Edison's grade school teacher said he was stupid and would never learn. Walt Disney was fired from a newspaper whose editor said he had no creative ideas. Louisa May Alcott was told she had no ideas worth a contemporary thought of her day. Can you imagine a literary world without Little Women? Or Little Men? Or Smurfs. Well, she didn't have anything to do with that. Fred Smith, the head of Federal Express, got the ideal of a door-to-door delivery service while he was in college. He wrote his thesis on the idea, and his professor gave him a C-, saying the concept was unworkable. Noah preached 120 years, and had no converts except the 8 members of his family. If any of these people had placed their confidence in other people's response, they all would have been devastated. Because people, even smart people, even the majority of people, can be wrong. Amen. Tell them. That's a young hallelujah. Preach it, brother. A third reason you should not put too much stock in people's opinion is simply because people's tastes are varied. What one person likes, another finds ridiculous. If you try to please everybody, you will be frustrated at best and devastated at worst because people are so different. Our small group that meets this afternoon, have you read this next chapter? Huh? The old boy that tries to please everybody and he's got dozens of coats. We're in that Gentle Thunder book that the men read. You remember that story? His mama loved blue, so every time he was around mama, he wore his blue coat. His boss liked that dark brown. It looked so slick and, you know, businesslike. So every time he went to work, he wore that brown coat. His girlfriend liked him in the red. So every time he was around his girlfriend, he wore that real slick red jacket. And everything went just fine until one day his mama and his boss were at the same. How do you please? Well, can you imagine what would happen if you... Well, you get the picture. People's tastes vary. If your sense of security too closely depends on other people's opinions, your life is going to be miserable. You've got to determine how God has gifted you and where God wants you to walk, and then walk that way confidently. And remember this. Remember this. If you worry too much about what people think about you, you might be disappointed to discover how seldom they think about you at all. So don't live a life to impress others. Rather, live a life that shows how impressive Jesus is. Paul writes in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's the life we ought to live. You know, and I told him I was going to do this because I pick on Paul Palumbo so much. And Paul, you're so good about it. You really are. You really are. But today I told you I want to hold you up in a very good way. Those of you who have been with us for a while will understand this. Totally others, just listen. You will get it. Paul is such a joy. He and his wife Norma are our muggers. If you've been a first-time guest here, you've probably been mugged. If not, you let us know and we'll mug you. Now, I hope that raises some interest too. They enjoy going around to our visitors and mugging them and extending a thank you for visiting with us at MCC and extending an invitation for them to come back. They love the Lord and they love MCC. They love inviting people and encouraging people to keep coming back. Paul and his wife are in our small group. We love our time together in fellowship. We love our time together in the Word. He has even sacrificed a finger helping me put up our pool for the grandkids. Haven't you, Paul? He doesn't help me anymore. Listen, he first came to MCC very reluctantly, vowing to come, but not going to speak to anybody. He finally decided to come to small group. But again, vowing to not say anything. Mike Tilford invited him to come to the Saturday morning men's breakfast. Again, he came vowing not to get involved. Next thing you know, they're hosting our small group. He's teaching Saturday men's breakfast. He's mugging our guests. And he's inviting his neighbors and friends. Now, if someone knew Paul years ago and met him today, heard him speak about MCC and the Bible and about Jesus, they would want to know what in the world has happened to him. Paul, your testimony is simple. I no longer live. It's Christ that liveth in me. Isn't that an impressive testimony? If God can do this in my life, just imagine what He could do in yours. I've been crucified with Christ, Paul said. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Isn't He impressive? Now people are going to look at me and they're going to say, that's what living with Jesus is like, a little crazy? Oh yeah, it's a whole lot crazy. It's a whole lot crazy. A little edgy? Oh yeah. You walking with Jesus, you walking on the edge, okay? I mean, this guy's turning over tables in the temple. We should all be living like that. That shows not how impressive we are. That shows how impressive Jesus is. Don't live a life to impress others. Live a life that shows how impressive Jesus is. And then, are you ready for this one? Then you can relax and enjoy being you, a child of God. Just you. Enjoy being who you are in Christ. Am I crazy? Yeah, but you know what? This is real. This really is me. People will tell you I'm just as crazy at McDonald's as I am here. The kids on the school bus will tell you he's just as crazy on the bus as he is here. Just be yourself. Paul was in my office the other day when we were talking. He said, you know, I really enjoy being a Christian. Do you enjoy being a Christian? Oh, it doesn't mean that there are no more problems. It doesn't mean there aren't even more crises even. Doesn't mean there's no more valleys, no more heartaches or tears. After all, this is still earth. That kind of life is what's waiting for us. But until then, there's still death, there's still cancer, there's still financial setbacks. We still lose our jobs, we still have accidents, we still have bills to pay. But there is joy in serving Jesus. In the good times and in the bad times, in the valleys and on the mountains, in the sunshine and through the storms, when you find your identity in Jesus, you can relax and enjoy being you. In Jesus, you are who God meant for you to be. When you're not living to impress others, you can relax and be who you are. You no longer have to try to be somebody you're not. What you see is what you get. And you'll find there is nothing easier than being who you really are. Not trying to please or impress others, just living for Jesus. Enjoying the new life He gives you. And knowing there's even more, even better yet to come. You remember going for a job interview? Ever had the opportunity to meet someone famous? Ever have to go before a judge? You don't know these people. They don't know you. But more than anything, you don't want to make a fool of yourself in front of them. You want to impress them. So you dress your best. You rehearse your words. You wipe your hands before you shake theirs. How different is it when you meet a friend or a family member? High fives, hugs. What's up? It's more relaxed. It's more comfortable. It's more enjoyable because you are being who? Yourself. When you realize your life is a living letter, and the life that you're living is writing a recommendation to the world around you that's watching you for Jesus. And you start living a life to show how impressive Jesus is, you don't want to change for anybody. You can relax and enjoy living in Him, sharing how impressive Jesus is even in your life. And before long, you'll be inviting anyone else to come meet this impressive Jesus and see what He can do with your life. Relax. Enjoy being you. After all, you are a child of God. That's pretty impressive. Father God, thank You this morning that you have given us the opportunities, and you put them before us every day, to let our light shine before men. My daily prayer would be that you would help us to temper that with your Spirit. Not try to be arrogant or better than anyone else, or in fact, just to be us. Because, you know, you're pleased with us enough to die for us. You want us to succeed so much. You've given us your Spirit to help us walk the life you want us to walk. And I'd also pray, Father, that we don't become complacent. I don't care how far we've grown. There's that next step. Help us every day to examine, what's my next step? If you need me to stay in this place for a while, let me stay here. You keep using me however you want. But Father, when that next step is there, if that next step is to reach out to my neighbor, if that next step is to just get into your word more, if your next step is, my next step from you is, let me just know. Just give me the courage and the strength then to just take that next step. But whenever I do it, help me to not do it to impress anybody but you. Help me to be so real and genuine that every day the letter I have written with the life I live, I can go to bed and sign it. Lord, this is my life written to you today. Sincerely, yours. Forgive me when I step outside those bounds. Pull me back in with your Spirit. Pull me back in with my brothers and sisters in Christ and their accountability with me and me with them. Keep me on track. But Father, keep me moving. Because as someone once said, even if you're on the right track, you get run over if you just sit there. Help us take that next step. And this morning, that next step may be for someone to give their life to you in Christian surrender, in repentance, and Christian baptism. Perhaps it's to place membership. They're already Christians. They've been Christians for a long time. They just need a church home like this that will love them, encourage them, have fun with them, and keep them accountable. Maybe the next step is to leave this place today and go talk to someone that we really need to talk to. But to do so, letting you shine through. Letting them see you living in us. Maybe it's just to go to work tomorrow and let others see what a difference living for you can make. But whatever our next step is today, Father, I pray that we'll take it. And that you will encourage us, you will strengthen us, and that once again this church body, this church family will just join us and say, hey man, God is so amazing. We've seen what He can do. We're just so anxious to see what He's going to do now. And we'll give you the praise always. In Jesus' name, amen.